No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 20th day of July. Welcome to this safe space. Welcome if you are brand new. We're so glad that you're here. And welcome if you're not brand new. I'm so glad that you're here. We are making our way through the Old Testament, reading the scripture in chronological order. Maybe if you've never read the Bible in chronological order before, you're hearing things differently. And maybe if you've never read the Bible, period, ever before, you're hearing things differently. That is the whole point, to disrupt the things that we have thought to be truth about God and His Word, and to replace them in exchange for the truth. And we do this by hearing for ourselves, not being passed down information, not listening to the latest and greatest and trending messages that have no biblical basis, but to be in the Word of God, to know His voice, to know what God calls good and what God calls evil, to follow good and to refrain from evil. So, however you're here, no matter the reason, I'm so glad that you are. And I'm truly honored to be a part of your journey here today. Today we read the book of Hosea, chapters 1-7, and we continue today in the New English Translation. Hosea chapter 1. This is the Lord's message that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the time of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the time of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, He said to him, "Go marry a prostitute who will bear illegitimate children conceived through prostitution, because the nation continually commits spiritual prostitution by turning away from the Lord." So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. Then she conceived and gave birth to a son for him. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Name him Jezreel, because in a little while I will punish the dynasty of Jehu on account of the bloodshed in the valley of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. At that time, I will destroy the military power of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to him, "Name her No Pity, Lo Ruhamah, because I will no longer have pity on the nation of Israel. For I will certainly not forgive their guilt, but I will have pity on the nation of Judah. I will deliver them by the Lord their God. I will not deliver them by the warrior's bow, by sword, by military victory, by chariot horses, or by chariots." When she had weaned No Pity, Lo Ruhamah, she conceived again and gave birth to another son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Not My People, Lo Ammi, because you are not My people, and I am not your God. However, in the future, the number of the people of Israel will be like the sand of the sea that can be neither measured nor numbered. Although it was said to them, 'You are not My people,' it will be said to them, 'You are children of the living God.' Then the people of Judah and the people of Israel will be gathered together. They will appoint for themselves one leader and will flourish in the land. Certainly, the day of Jezreel will be great. Then you will call your brother, 'My people,' Ammi. You will call your sister, 'Pity,' Ruhamah. Plead earnestly with your mother, for she is not my wife and I am not her husband, so that she might put an end to her adulterous lifestyle and turn away from her sexually immoral behavior. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and expose her like she was when she was born. I will turn her land into a wilderness and make her country a parched land, so that I might kill her with thirst. I will have no pity on her children, because they are children conceived in adultery, for their mother has committed adultery. She who conceived them has acted shamefully, for she said, 'I will seek out my lovers, They are the ones who give me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, my olive oil, and my wine. Therefore, I will soon fence her in with thorns. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. Then she will pursue her lovers, but she will not catch them. She will seek them, but she will not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband, because I was better off then than I am now. Yet until now she has refused to acknowledge that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, and that it was I who lavished on her the silver and gold that they used in worshiping Baal. Therefore, I will take back my grain during the harvest time, and my new wine when it ripens. I will take away my wool and my flax that I had provided in order to clothe her. Soon I will expose her lewd nakedness in front of her lovers, and no one will be able to rescue her from me. I will put an end to all her celebrations, her annual religious festivals, monthly new moon celebrations, and weekly Sabbath festivals, all her appointed festivals. I will destroy her vines and fig trees, about which she said, these are my wages for prostitution that my lovers gave me. I will turn her cultivated vines and fig trees into an uncultivated thicket, so that wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for the festival days when she burned incense to the Baal idols. She adorned herself with earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but she forgot me, says the Lord. However, in the future, I will allure her. I will lead her back into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. From there, I will give back her vineyards to her and turn the valley of trouble into an opportunity for hope. There she will sing as she did when she was young, when she came up from the land of Egypt. At that time, declares the Lord, you will call my husband. You will never again call me my master. For I will remove the names of the Baal idols from your lips so that you will never again utter their names. At that time, I will make a covenant for them with the wild animals, the birds of the air, and the creatures that crawl on the ground. I will abolish the warrior's bow and sword, that is, every weapon of warfare from the land, and I will allow them to live securely. I will commit myself to you forever. I will commit myself to you in righteousness and justice, in steadfast love and tender compassion. I will commit myself to you in faithfulness. Then you will acknowledge the Lord. At that time, I will willingly respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the sky, and the sky will respond to the ground. Then the ground will respond to the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, and they will respond to God plants, Jezreel. Then I will plant her as my own in the land. I will have pity on no pity, lo, Ruhamah. I will say to not my people, lo, am I, you are my people. And he will say, you are my God. The Lord said to me, go show love to your wife again, even though she loves another man and continually commits adultery. Likewise, the Lord loves the Israelites, although they turn to other gods and love to offer raisin cakes to idols. So I paid 15 shekels of silver and about 7 bushels of barley to purchase her. Then I told her, you must live with me many days. You must not commit adultery or become joined to another man. And I also will wait for you. For the Israelites must live many days without a king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred fertility pillar, without ephods or idols. Afterward, the Israelites will turn and seek the Lord their God and their Davidic king. Then they will submit to the Lord in fear and receive his blessings in future days. Listen to the Lord's message, you Israelites. For the Lord has a covenant lawsuit against the people of Israel. For there is neither faithfulness nor loyalty in the land, nor do they acknowledge God. There is only cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery. They resort to violence and bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and all its inhabitants will perish. The wild animals, the birds of the sky, and even the fish in the sea will perish. Do not let anyone accuse or contend against anyone else. For my case is against you, priests. You stumble day and night, and the false prophets stumble with you. You have destroyed your own people, You have destroyed my people by failing to acknowledge me. Because you refuse to acknowledge me, I will reject you as my priests. Because you reject the law of your God, I will reject your descendants. The more the priests increased in numbers, the more they rebelled against me. They have turned their glorious calling into a shameful disgrace. They feed on the sin offerings of my people. Their appetites long for their iniquity. I will deal with the people and priests together. I will punish them both for their ways, and I will repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not be satisfied. They will engage in prostitution, but not increase in numbers, because they have abandoned the Lord by pursuing other gods. Old and new wine take away the understanding of my people. They consult their wooden idols, and their diviner's staff answers with an oracle. The wind of prostitution blows them astray. They commit spiritual adultery against their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills. They sacrifice under oak, poplar, and terebinth because their shade is so pleasant. As a result, your daughters have become cult prostitutes, and your daughters-in-law commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery. For the men consort with harlots, they sacrifice with temple prostitutes. It is true, a people that lacks understanding will come to ruin. Although you, O Israel, commit adultery, do not let Judah become guilty. Do not journey to Gilgal. Do not go up to Beth Aven. Do not swear, as surely as the Lord lives. Israel has rebelled like a stubborn heifer. Soon the Lord will put them out to pasture like a lamb in a broad field. Ephraim has attached himself to idols. Do not go near him. They consume their alcohol, then engage in cult prostitution. They dearly love their shameful behavior. A whirlwind has wrapped them in its wings. They will be brought to shame because of their adulterous worship. Hear this, you priests. Pay attention, you Israelites. Listen closely, O king. For judgment is about to overtake you. For you were like a trap to Mizpah, like a net spread out to catch Tabor. Those who revolt are knee-deep in slaughter, but I will discipline them all. I know Ephraim all too well. The evil of Israel is not hidden from me. For you have engaged in prostitution, O Ephraim. Israel has defiled itself. Their wicked deeds do not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of idolatry is in them, and they do not acknowledge the Lord. The arrogance of Israel testifies against it. Israel and Ephraim will be overthrown because of their iniquity. Even Judah will be brought down with them. Although they bring their flocks and herds to seek the favor of the Lord, they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have committed treason against the Lord because they bore illegitimate children. Soon the new moon festival will devour them and their fields. Blow the ram's horn in Gibeah. Sound the trumpet in Ramah. Sound the alarm in Beth Aven. Tremble in fear, O Benjamin. Ephraim will be ruined in the day of judgment. What I am declaring to the tribes of Israel will certainly take place. The princes of Judah are like those who move boundary markers. I will pour out my rage on them like a torrential flood. Ephraim will be oppressed, crushed, under judgment, because he was determined to pursue worthless idols. I will be like a moth to Ephraim, like wood rot to the house of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim turned to Assyria and begged its great king for help. But he will not be able to heal you. He cannot cure your wound. I will be like a lion to Ephraim, like a young lion to the house of Judah. I myself will tear them to pieces. Then I will carry them off, and no one will be able to rescue them. Then I will return again to my lair until they have suffered their punishment. Then they will seek me in their distress. They will earnestly seek me. Come on, let's return to the Lord. He himself has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bandage our wounds. He will restore us in a very short time. He will heal us in a little while, so that we may live in his presence. So let us search for him. Let us seek to know the Lord. He will come to our rescue as certainly as the appearance of the dawn, as certainly as the winter rain comes, as certainly as the spring rain that waters the land. What am I going to do with you, O Ephraim? What am I going to do with you, O Judah? For your faithfulness is as fleeting as the morning mist. It disappears as quickly as dawn's dew. Therefore, I will certainly cut you into pieces at the hands of the prophets. I will certainly kill you in fulfillment of my oracles of judgment. For my judgment will come forth like the light of the dawn. For I delight in faithfulness, not simply in sacrifice. I delight in acknowledging God, not simply in whole burnt offerings. At Adam they broke the covenant. Oh, how they were unfaithful to me. Gilead is a city full of evildoers. Its streets are stained with bloody footprints. The company of priests is like a gang of robbers, lying in ambush to pounce on a victim. They commit murder on the roads to Shechem. They have done heinous crimes. I have seen a disgusting thing in the house of Israel. There Ephraim commits prostitution with other gods, and Israel defiles itself. I have appointed a time to reap judgment for you also, O Judah. Whenever I want to restore the fortunes of my people, whenever I want to heal Israel, the sin of Ephraim is revealed, and the evil deeds of Samaria are exposed. For they do what is wrong. Thieves break into houses, and gangs rob people out in the streets. They do not realize that I remember all their wicked deeds. Their evil deeds have now surrounded them. Their sinful deeds are always before me. The royal advisors delight the king with their evil schemes. The princes make him glad with their lies. They are all like bakers. They are like a smoldering oven. They are like a baker who does not stoke the fire until the kneaded dough is ready for baking. At the celebration of their king, his princes become inflamed with wine. They conspire with evildoers. They approach him, all the while plotting against him. Their hearts are like an oven. Their anger smolders all night long, but in the morning it bursts into a flaming fire. All of them are blazing like an oven. They devour their rulers, all their kings fall, and none of them call on me. Ephraim has mixed itself like flour among the nations. Ephraim is like a ruined cake of bread that is scorched on one side. Foreigners are consuming what his strenuous labor produced, but he does not recognize it. His head is filled with gray hair, but he does not realize it. The arrogance of Israel testifies against him, yet they refuse to return to the Lord their God. In spite of all this, they refuse to seek him. Ephraim has been like a dove, easily deceived and lacking discernment. They called to Egypt for help. They turned to Assyria for protection. I will throw my bird net over them while they are flying. I will bring them down like birds in the sky. I will discipline them when I hear them flocking together. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, for they have rebelled against me. I want to deliver them, but they have lied to me. They do not pray to me, but howl in distress on their beds. They slash themselves for grain and new wine, but turn away from me. Although I trained and strengthened them, they plot evil against me. They turn to Baal. They are like an unreliable bow. Their leaders will fall by the sword, because their prayers to Baal have made me angry. So people will disdain them in the land of Egypt. Okay, so we read of the reign of Hezekiah today. Hezekiah is the son of Ahaz. Ahaz did what was evil in the sight of God. So King Hezekiah, the king and ruler of Judah, comes and reverses the wicked that his father spread throughout the land, and re-establishes the rituals the laws, the celebrations, the festivals, and the temple restores it back to God. So we see this first by cleansing the temple. Got to give it a good scrub and get that evil out. And I think it might be safe to say that where we are today, we have lost a lot of the rich rituals of the early church and early worship. Now, some of you rooted in traditional worship are like, no, we haven't. If this is all you've ever known, then that's all you've ever known. I come from a different background where there was no rituals of early worship whatsoever, but I have learned them later in life and re-established them in my own practice of worship. I say that because when we understand the rituals, they are so beautiful, they are so rich and meaningful, and re-establishing the rituals of worship, especially by way of the temple, is done so as an act of obedience to God through King Hezekiah. I guess we think of it in terms of buying and selling houses. You come in, you purchase someone else's house. They've lived there, and there are signs everywhere of a lifestyle that they lived that is much different than yours. And that lifestyle is not conducive to the way that you will come in and set up your home. And so there's sometimes a scrubbing of the walls, there's recarpeting, there's fresh coat of paint. Sometimes you take the doors off, they've been banged up, and there's smells that are foreign. And in essence, you're ridding your home of anything that was there formerly to make it something new and your own. This is what King Hezekiah did in the temple, to re-establish God's ordinances. And he did so by taking out what was ceremonially unclean and replacing it with what is clean. Passover is reinstated. And then he gathered the people together to care for, run, reestablish the temple. Evil is reversed. God's laws are reestablished, as well as the temple is brought to restitution. And as I'm saying all of this, I realize that this is yesterday's reading over the weekend. So here we are today in the book of Hosea, the prophecy of Hosea. And this book is a completely different discussion altogether. So the book of Hosea brings a very powerful description in real time of a prophet, the prophet Hosea's marriage to an unfaithful wife knowingly, and how this mirrors God's unconditional love for an unfaithful people. And here's the thing about that metaphor. If you don't understand the heart of God, if we just follow people's reactions, people's opinions to such things as adultery, as infidelity, as in marriage, it's how quick can you get out and how fast can you get revenge? So to understand the book of Hosea, and for God to use this analogy, this situation, to articulate and demonstrate the broken vow of the people, as in terms of an adulterous woman, then you have to understand the entire book of Hosea. There is harsh words and imagery here in the book. In the first three chapters, we have the blatant unfaithfulness of Hosea's wife to her husband. But at the same time, we have the hope of redemption. And what we have to see and understand to really get the first seven chapters of what we've read here today is to understand that God is not a God of revenge, of getting even, of evening the score, or reaching even beyond the hurt and pain that has been inflicted on him, that we mask as justice, but it is ultimately revenge. God is a God of justice, but if God was a God of revenge, he would not forgive the people. He would not redeem and restore the people. He would punish them continuously, and the cycle of pain and hurt and revenge and getting even would continue generation to generation to generation. So what I believe we have to hear is the heart of God, that despite the unfaithfulness, his heart is for restoration, redemption, and healing. Always. That is always the heart of God. Now, is that easier said than done? Absolutely. Is it impossible without God's help? Absolutely. But is it possible with God? Absolutely. So I would challenge us that the next time someone shares any offense, that our response, that our heart is to not offer opinions of retaliation and shame and evening the score and suggesting to get out as fast as possible, but to always suggest and hope for forgiveness, restoration, redemption, and healing. Forgiveness cannot come without repentance, that's for sure. And repentance requires admission and remorse. And I would suggest that without it, chances are there won't be a true change of heart. But with God, all things are possible through those that believe. And I believe. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for your justice. Thank you for your restoration, your healing, your redemption that is available to every single one of us. May we be representatives, your mouthpiece that leads people to forgiveness, to restoration, to healing, redemption, and to true change. Only you can change the heart of a man or woman, but we can surely influence that change by what we say and what we do. May we choose wisely. This is my prayer today. I pray it all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the free app, that is the website. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you, and we are so, so grateful that we don't have to. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can use the app. Hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner, and lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you would like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Or again, if you're utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top right-hand corner. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit the little red microphone. And then right below that, hit the chronological icon on the right-hand side. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. I love you all. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. Until then, love one another.
Hello, this is a daughter of the Silversmith, and I speak peace and mercy over all of you. Common, courtesy in the Commonwealth, I hear you, and I'm praying for you. And to the lady that could not bow to her friend because she needed to be obedient, I praise you for what you did. I know it's hard, but Jesus did not call us to be soft and just be easy to get along with and just do whatever makes us feel right. So I'm proud of you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll be with Courtesy in the Commonwealth. You'll be with him and his wife. Lord, I pray you'll stir both their hearts with what you're wanting them to do. I pray that you will save this marriage and you'll bring her back home, Father. They've been through so much. I pray, Lord, that you will show him the job that is for him. For the lady with her friend, Lord, I pray that this friendship will not be severed, that it will be uplifted, that her friend will grow, and she will know you more, and she will want to draw closer to you, Father, and to back to her friend, Father. Let her know this is being done for her to grow stronger in you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I love you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, family. This is your sister Kim in Kentucky, and it's Wednesday, July the 15th, and I'm calling to give y'all a magnificent God's good report on my granddaughter, Amari. Her final test came back that the tumor markers were all low risk, genetics were good, and so no chemotherapy is needed for this kidney tumor that was removed. She will be monitored for 5 years by the oncologist to make sure there's no recurrence, but in the name of Jesus, there will be no recurrence. I praise God for just hearing our prayers and answering and just giving this good report. And his redeemed daughter, I've heard your prayer request that your, I think it was a PET scan, did not come back good, that it's showing there's metastases. But I know what our God can do. And sometimes his path for us is different, but he is the same God. And so to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, according to the power that works within us, is who I cry out to you. God, you are able to touch and heal my sister, his redeemed daughter in Florida. So I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Blessings, family. I love y'all. I'm still listening and praying in the background.
Hello, DABC family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. Greg in Washington, I'm lifting up your wife for healing from the multiple surgeries, from the discouragement, from the disabilities, for your finances and for your family. I pray for restoration, for healing, for peace, for encouragement, and for faith to be strengthened through the power of the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I lift up all these things to you, for you. Laura Lee in Savannah, Georgia, lifting up Phyllis in Florida. Lord, you know Phyllis, you chose her before the beginning of time to be a believer. You know of her wounds. You suffered for her wounds. You know of the unforgiveness that she's dealing with. Show her how you forgave her. Show her, Lord, how your love overcame any anger so that she would feel love for her family, be able to pray for her family and lift them up to you for healing and restoration. In Jesus' name. And Scott in New York, lifting up Ron, your pastor, who had the sudden heart attack. You asked for a miracle for survival, so I'm asking the Lord to touch his body to restore function to his heart and to help him heal and recover from this incident. In the name of Jesus, thank you. I love all of you.